This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
And Aaron Boone said after the Marlins sweep, it's gut check time. And the team right now playing like they don't have it. The Mets continue to falter. I was like, no big deal. You get swept by the Padres. It happens. Padres are good. You know, they lost two out of three to the Giants. You could argue that, you know, should have won one of those games at the very least. And now lose the first two to the Guardians in a tough series here. And they've lost, what, 7 of 8 now. So each team in a little bit of a rut, and it feels overwhelmingly negative. Both teams sliding in the standings. Yankees now on the verge of, if they lose today, being out of the postseason picture. The Mets not too far behind them as they're holding on to the final wild card spot in the National League. And I'm not trying to be overly positive here, but I do want to bring a little reality to what feels like an overly negative situation. I mean, look, last night, you know, you're going to be happy about the way Dominguez misplays a ball in left field. That's a ball a big league left fielder has to catch. You're going to be happy about the fact that Devin Williams is in a higher leverage situation than the one he was in the night before with a one-run lead. It is a higher leverage situation to come in a tie game than it is with a one-run lead. Obviously, there's less wiggle room. So that move is perplexing by Boone to stick with Williams, who's been awful for the most part this year with the Yankees. But those are things that we've discussed, and those are things that are going to happen throughout the course of each individual game. Ultimately, though, do your own gut check. And I've done this a lot, thinking about it. You know, gut check, all right, what do I really believe of these two teams? And there's a different curve. Forget the World Series right now. We shouldn't be talking about World Series with the Mets or the Yankees. There's a long way to go to get to the postseason, let alone the World Series. So forget about that. Ultimately, these things, we've seen it. Like, I hate the fact that I have to come on here and be logical. I like being irrational and illogical and yelling and screaming and going nuts. Fire this guy. Fire that guy. This guy stinks. How could this happen? How could we accept that? But if you take a 20-second timeout, think about it. Do we really think that this won't change for the better? Well, we've seen this at the flip of a hat, the something of a dime. I don't know. But you've seen this stuff, whereas the Yankees could come out and sweep the Mariners the way that they did after the All-Star break and look like, uh-oh, world's on fire again. Yanks are going to go nuts. Same with the Mets. They go out there and sweep the Giants in San Francisco as, hey, they're on top of the baseball world again, looking like the best team. So, unfortunately, the way that we've seen the inconsistencies with the sport for the last several years and the way that we've seen the postseason play out the last several years with the new format, I don't think it's fair to go nuts and rip either team. Again, we could question, as I have with the Yankees, and I think their issue is a little bit bigger, only because I think it's a deeper-rooted issue. It's not about the results. Even when you heard me criticizing the Yankees off of getting swept by the Marlins, it was less about the results of that weekend sweep and more about the infrastructure of the team, which is just something I haven't believed in for years. Whereas the Mets, it's not about the infrastructure of the team. To me, it's about the inconsistencies of the offense. You want to talk about some of the core guys? Whether I know Alonso's been great for the most part. Same thing with Lindor. He's on a heater now. But the Nimmo, inconsistent. You know, they talk about the core four. It's not there. Soto has been awful. So I think it's more with the Mets. It's on the individual players. Whereas obviously the Yankees players aren't doing their best jobs. But I think it's more a fundamental issue with the way that the Yankees have built their roster and the way that they have failed to develop their younger players. But with all that being said, if you sit here today and feel like these things can change at any moment, which they've shown that they can, who's to say that by tomorrow, man, maybe the things get better for the Yankees? Judge supposed to play a little catch today. It seems like the Yankees feel that Judge is not that far away from taking the field again. If he does that, now I know that's a big if, but if he does that and you could put Stanton back in place, man, maybe you could start to put things together consistently in that lineup, which is their strength. And once you get that and start with that foundation of hitting the baseball consistently, and look, you could throw it out last night against Eovaldi, who's owned them. No surprise there that he would shut them down. But once the Yankees start to hit and give themselves some breathing room for that rotation, then they can hand it over to the new improved bullpen, Doval, Bednar. Now, look, I'm not saying they're perfect. I don't think they're going to be a World Series team. I think they're going to be a playoff team. And I still don't. Like, the Red Sox are hot right now. They've won 7 in a row. Yankees have lost 5. So it's very easy, based off of the last week, to sit here and say, oh, man, the Yankees are in trouble. They're toast this year. Where I'm just telling you my gut feel. I don't feel like the Yankees are in danger of missing the playoffs. Maybe that could change. And I know what I'm seeing. I get it. Like, if they lose today, I'm shocked. I am shocked that the Yankees have lost the first two games of the series to Texas. One the other night with Fried on the mound, and then one last night with Judge returning. I'm shocked that the way that they lost it makes it even worse, but I'm shocked that the Yankees didn't figure out a way to get right against the Rangers, who are obviously on their heels. If they don't win today, and this is obviously a huge game for Rodon, and he hasn't been great in big games, but if they don't win today, then maybe it's fair to question, are they going to be a playoff team? I just can't. I don't know if it's because I'm brainwashed because of the dynasty, because I'm brainwashed because of the potential with their offense. It's one thing if Boone's like, well, I still believe in this team. I'm confident. And even Boone, who has his confidence in his ball club, you see him starting to, I don't want to say unravel, but he's starting to be a little more real in his post-game press conference, holding guys and his team a little more accountable in those press conferences. Hey, I can only say it so many times. At some point, you got to do it. And he's right. But sometimes all it takes is one win. And a win this afternoon, which is much, much needed, maybe can start to turn the tables. And then this weekend against the Astros, Yankees get it going. And all of a sudden, you start to feel good. We've seen this with the baseball season. 1 week bad, 1 week good. 1 month awful, 2 months great. Now, it has been a prolonged problem. Obviously, this is not just a bad weekend. The Yankees have been playing, and Mets, by the way, been playing bad baseball since June 13th. So there is a little bit of a pattern developing here. But look at the other teams that they're playing. Not that that's an excuse, but, I mean, the Mets are still right there in the division. And while the Yankees are sliding further out from the division race, certainly still right there in the as far as the playoff spot goes, still having a hold on a playoff spot. And not that a switch can be flipped automatically, but, like, we've seen this before with other teams. We saw with the Yankees going back 25 years ago. When nobody thought, after watching the Yankees dynasty, 96, 98, 99, that 2000 team didn't compare to those teams, to that level. They stumbled into the playoffs and then went out there and remembered they were the Yankees. I think the Yankees need a little reminder of who they are. They're lacking confidence as a group. They're clearly pressing. The manager said that. Maybe the one guy who's not is Volpe. All of a sudden, his energy looks totally different. Not to say that I trust him, because I don't, but even just the way he played defense last night, forget about overall. They have some fundamental flaws, sure, but their strengths right now are not coming to fruition. They're not hitting the baseball the way that they normally do to overcome some of those areas of weakness. Do you really think they're not going to? I don't. I think they're going to hit. And once they start to hit, then everything else should fall at least in a place where they could get back on track and right the ship and get into the postseason. And the old adage goes, or maybe the new adage, anything could happen. I don't think they're a very good baseball team. That is my belief. It's been that since day one, since before day one. It was that way last year. But even though I didn't think they were a good baseball team, they went to the World Series. I don't think they're a good baseball team this year, but I do expect them to make the playoffs. And I still am not holding out hope that they can win the division, especially when the schedule softens up. You know, as for the Mets, a little bit of a different circumstance here, where I'm actually surprised, not the results with losing a series here or there, you know, getting swept by the Padres, okay. Losing 2 out of 3 to the Giants, okay. Losing the kind of games that they've been losing, down 5-0, come back, and then lose that game in game one to the Guardians. Yesterday, the offense again inconsistent. I feel like there's a better foundation that the Mets have, But still, we're waiting for the offense to be consistent. What's it going to take? In my mind, I'm like, all right, well, if they don't get the offense going, really, I don't know what you can do. They're not going to beat the Phillies for the division, and you just have to hope that once you get to the postseason, everybody kicks it into gear, specifically Juan Soto, who, as we've seen before, whether it's the Nationals in 2019, the Yankees last year, whatever it may be, Soto, obviously, the type of bat that can carry a team. I think that's the biggest issue. The Mets are close, but they're just, same thing with the pitching. Like, okay, it's there. Manaea's getting built up, and he gives you five strong, but then falls apart in the sixth inning. Okay, they could bring the younger guys up for reinforcements, but they haven't done it yet. Yeah, their bullpen is better, but they haven't had a chance to really fully utilize that yet because the offense is inconsistent. It's not that they don't have the horses, but the guys that they do rely on, Nimmo, Soto, those are the two right now who are the biggest culprits. I mean, Vientos, I don't know what the hell happened to him. It's been a lost cause for Mark Vientos. But Nimmo, Soto, obviously Pete is performing well now, Lindor well, those well now, but those guys have hit their slumps as well. Right now, it's clear. Nimmo's not hitting, and Soto's not hitting. Hard for the Mets to win when you look at the rest of that lineup. If Vientos isn't doing damage, or McNeil, or whoever at the bottom of the order, then it's hard when the core four, whatever you want to call them, I never called them that, but that was the words the owners used. Hard to win ball games if they're not hitting. So that's been my biggest issue. I still feel like, though, both these teams.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart. For a healthier you. Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with confidence unleashed.
To their own extent, will get it turned around. And right now, while it feels negative and it's very frustrating and there are issues with both clubs, I don't really believe it's as bad as it is right now. I think sooner than later, both these teams will get it turned around and it'll feel different. And then we can start to say, okay, well, is this team, while we expect them to make the playoffs, are they capable of going out there and winning a World Series? And based on the landscape in the American League and what we saw last year, anything's possible. With the Mets, if they're at their peak, I would put them up against anybody. But again, at their peak. I mean, they haven't been that consistently enough. That's the issue. Lack of consistency for the Mets. And with the Yankees, a lack of fundamentally sound baseball while trying to get back healthy here now, obviously, with the big guy, Aaron Judge, back in the lineup. BT and Sal on the Fan. Our friends at Town Fair Tire remind you that at Town Fair Tire, you always get the guaranteed lowest price on name brand tires from Connecticut to Maine. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. I know it's not as fun. I know maybe there's some expectation, oh, you're going to come on and rip the Mets and rip the Yankees. Look, obviously for the play as of late, yeah, unacceptable. Lose 7 of 8. Mets starting to let that division slip away. We talked about that where it's dangerous. Phillies are hot right now. It went from, you know, Mets being up a half game, being up a game and a half, even with losing some games, still right there, down a half game, down a game and a half. Now you're 2.5 back. And if you mess around today and you got to go to Milwaukee and take on the best team in baseball and the Brewers, all of a sudden, and the Phillies get hot for a week, you could be looking at it saying, oh, boy, fine. You know, as the games start to come off the calendar, less than 50 games to go now, at 48 games, whatever it is for each team, you don't want to fall further back in the division. And that's what's going on with both the Mets and the Yankees. But I still just don't believe that either of these teams are as bad as they've been playing right now. BT and Sal on the Fan, 888-808-1019. Carlos Mendoza will join us in about an hour. So we'll get the latest from Mendy here on what's up with his ball club. I mean, what's going on? Losers of 7 or 8. Where's the confidence level at? What does he think the biggest issue is? How's he going to fix it? Dealt with adversity before, so wouldn't be surprised if he could handle it again here. Different pressure this year, obviously, with the expectations. A lot we got to get into with Mendy. We'll do that coming up in about an hour from now. John is in the Bronx starting us off. What's up, Johnny?
Hey, Sal. Thanks for taking my call, man. I'm a long-time listener. It's the second time I'm able to speak to you, so I'm very happy for that.
We appreciate it.
Listen, I agree with your assessment of the Yankees, their organizational problems, the construction of the team. I 100% agree with you that Cashman had a good, not great, trade line.
Right.
But I disagree with you 100% that Boone should continue to be the Yankees manager. Don't let him finish the year out. But he has proven he is a player's manager. He is not a game manager. He has gotten the Yankees to the World Series. He blew it. He can't get us any further. He has the pieces. He has a better bullpen before the trade line. And look what he's doing. We've lost 5 in a row.
Well, but is it his fault that those guys, when they first came in on that Friday night, think about how different it would feel if the Yankees won that game, which they probably win 99 out of 100 times. But is it his fault that not one of those guys could get the job done?
It's his fault that for 3 months he's been feeding us excuses. It's his fault that he creates this idea that he knows what he's doing. That's his fault. Well, he believes in these guys to a fault.
I'll agree with half of that.
You just said it, Sal. You just said it. He put Devin Williams in a position to fail. A manager is supposed to put players in a position to succeed.
Right, but here's the problem, John. Think about it. John,
higher leverage situation last night.
I know,
but John,
think about it. The Yankees acquired him. Brian Cashman and the Yankees front office went out there and acquired Devin Williams. And they believed, and I was being told the same thing from everybody, including my partner. He's the best closer in baseball. And I didn't buy that because of A, what I saw Pete Alonso do to him, and B, because I know how fickle bullpens are. C, you're taking somebody from Milwaukee, putting him in New York. There's no guarantee that just because his numbers, one ERA in Milwaukee, are going to be the same in New York. Now, he has fallen apart to a level that I don't think anybody expected with his ERA at a ridiculous level here with the Yankees. But is that Aaron Boone's fault? And if Devin Williams isn't...
It is not.
Okay,
it's
so
not
that,
Aaron Boone's fault, Sal, but you can't keep running him out there. This is New York.
So what are you supposed to do? Not have him pitch?
Before, it's gut check time, and we have the game on the line, and Warren just pitched the game of his freaking career, and you're going to send a guy in the 8th inning, high leverage situation, who has proven to you at that point he had given up 24 earned runs this year. In the last 3 years, in his whole career, is 26. You're going to send them back out
right,
there?
But John, you don't want...
Everybody watching that game knew what was going to happen.
John, but here's the thing. You don't want to see Williams at all. It's why I said it the other day, yesterday, because everybody was upset, and thank you for the call. Everybody was upset that Williams was the closer, right? But either way, Williams was likely going to be in that game. So yesterday now, you can't have it both ways. Yesterday now, Williams wasn't the closer. Who's the closer for the Yanks? If they were to get a lead, who's going to close the game? The answer would have been Bednar. How do you get there? And you said, Will Warren pitched the game of his life. That's great. Congratulations. It was 5 innings. Same thing with Fried the night before. 5 innings isn't good enough. If you go 5 innings, and I'm not knocking Warren, but I'm just saying if you go 5 innings, now you need more from your bullpen, which means that the math says you're probably going to have to see Williams. Whether it's the 8th or 9th inning, he's one of your best guys. I mean, now you want to make it like Williams is chopped liver? I get it. He has not been anywhere near as good. I wouldn't have him close either, but let's not make it like Williams didn't right the ship and become one of the more reliable arms in the bullpen. Luke Weaver hasn't been lights out either. Bednar, Doval, those guys aren't perfect. Your starter went five.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Escape the heat to True North Convenience Stores and get any size True Oasis Fountain Drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi Fountain Drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, Swift Rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
5 innings. You've got to have somebody that you want to close the game. So if you don't want Williams closing the game, which you don't, he's going to be in the game sometimes. Yeah, you're right. I said to myself, I think that's a higher leverage spot, but they're going to need Williams to get big outs. If they don't, they're toast. That's not the manager's fault. So who are the guys? Do it this way. Who are the guys that you trust, wholeheartedly, fully trust in the Yankees bullpen? How many? Do you fully trust Weaver? I'll give you that. Let's say that you do. Yeah, we trust the Weave dog, whatever. You trust Weaver. Okay, fine. Now, I don't, especially based on what we saw in the postseason and the way he got hit hard this year, but he's certainly one of their more trustworthy relievers. But yeah, I'll give you Weaver. I'll give you Duvall. Again, how do you know? You've seen him, what, 3-4 times already? And he's been up and down. One awful, two okay, or two good. Then what? Behind those two guys, Weaver, Duvall, you trust Bednar 100%? You saw him, what happened to him the first game, and I do trust him. He's got to be one of your better arms. That's three guys right there. That's it. You certainly don't trust Devin Williams the way that you need to. And if he goes with Hill, the lefty, and I saw this last night, then the Rangers are going to go with righty guys. Hill's a solid arm, but obviously not the lights-out, lockdown, top bullpen arm that you want. You trust Mark Leiter Jr.? I'm not saying it's great. I'm not saying Boone has been perfect. He hasn't. He's got to wear what's gone on with the Yankees. But this is not his fault. Steve is in Flushing. What's up, Steve?
Sal, what's going on?
How are you, Steve?
Good. I was hoping I'd hear you today go crazy and go ham. I know you're saying you want to be logical and passionate. But with the Mets, like, it's inexcusable to me how you're David Stearns. You're this great GM, and I like David Stearns. He seems like a nice guy. But you clearly know, and BT hit it on the head like 4 months ago, 3 months ago, they have nothing from positions 5 through 9 in the lineup that can consistently hit. And that is the major problem with this team. Yes, bullpen is a little shoddy, but you overkilled it with the bullpen. You did a great job. But where are the hitters?
The hitters are the top four. See, this is where I disagree with both you and BT. You're focused on the wrong thing. What's Juan Soto done recently?
Okay, I understand that if the big three don't hit at the same time.
What's Nimmo done?
Hold on.
Yeah.
Nimmo, okay, first of all, that's another thing I have with you. Nimmo, you pick on Nimmo unnecessarily. Nimmo, even when they go on losing streaks, is the only guy getting on base. Yeah, you focus on a big high leverage situation, he can come through in one. But I can name several times where even before they had this seven-game winning streak where they were still flailing, Nimmo was the only guy hitting, and the other big three weren't.
Steve, he's inconsistent. That's the issue. And he's supposed to be one of their best hitters. So you're focusing on the bottom of the order, which I don't know what you would expect from the bottom of the order. I'm focusing on the guys who are expected to do damage, who haven't done it consistently. So why? So Nimmo gets a pass from you.
You're still a good hitter if you fail 7 out of 10 times. You can't expect all three to hit every single day.
Dude, you're 7 out of 10. 7 out of 10, I'd kill for that. Have you seen Nimmo?
Exactly. You're acting as if they're supposed to be batting 800.
No.
What are you talking about?
No, Steve, what are you talking about? Juan Soto's done nothing close to what he did in June or what he's expected to do overall. Neither
has
Brandon Nimmo. Okay.
No,
so,
Nimmo has. Look at Nimmo's numbers. Yeah. What are you talking? Nimmo's actually one of the good hitters we have. One through four.
He struck out like 7 of the last 8 times. Have you watched the game, Steve? Good God. Have you watched the games lately? I'm not saying that players can't go into slumps. Brandon Nimmo, first of all, Nimmo was supposed to be an all-star. That's how they paid him. That's what Nimmo said when I had him on the show. Me and Beningo interviewed him out there at Amazing Day before the season started. Like, it was supposed to be a thing last year. This year, before the season started, we had him on. I was like, dude, what's going on here? You haven't had the full season from start to finish. He knows it. That's why I like Nimmo. He's accountable. Hold himself accountable. But he had to take that step forward and be a consistent performer to an all-star level. He wasn't. He's shown flashes of being an all-star. He's not an all-star. Again. You think he's put up good numbers, Brandon Nimmo? I mean, he goes in spurts where he goes on a tear, sure.
Can I give you his last 10 games?
I think he's okay. He's got a 762 OPS. Yeah, give me the last 10 games, which is, by the way, what we're talking about here.
Right.
The Mets have lost 7 of 8. Go ahead.
Right. All right, so he's batting 163, an OPS of 427. He does have 4 RBIs, 2 doubles, but...
How many strikeouts in there?
18 strikeouts and...
Again, it's a rough stretch. I'm not saying he sucks as a player, but when you start to do the math and say, why has the Mets' offense been inconsistent? Yeah, you want to focus on the 8, 9 hitters? Yeah, let's focus on 6, 7, 8, 9. Like, I don't know what you expect from those guys. What I expect from Nimmo is supposed to be Cohen said core 4. He's being paid, Brandon Nimmo, a lot of money to get on base, to hit with some power, and to do it consistently. And it just hasn't been there. And I don't think it's a coincidence that when the Mets have lost 7 of 8, Brandon Nimmo's numbers in the last 10 games have been putrid, have been non-existent. And by the way, Soto as well. Now, the reason why I'm not going nuts about the Mets today is because ultimately I do believe that both those guys, specifically Soto, but even Nimmo, they have the potential to just get hot. And when they do, everything's going to look different. But, I mean, there's 40-something games left, 48 games left. I mean, it's now or never. We're kind of getting down to that point. It's now or never. Carlos Mendoza coming off at 11:10, so make sure you stay tuned for that. We'll also have some fun with Zach Scott in studio, former general manager of the Mets. Get a front office perspective on all that's going on with both these teams, the Mets and the Yankees. Our pal Joe DiMeo from SNY TV does great stuff with the Mets podcast over there and writes, and nobody knows prospects better than him. He's just checking in with the Mets stuff. I got a message from him. No, here's the issue, and I'm with Joe. I said it before. Everybody's focused on the pitching. I feel like the pitching will get stabilized. And I know the Mets are worried about the pitching. I feel like there are answers there, and that'll get stabilized. The inconsistency of the offense, to me, is the biggest concern. Since July 6th, Joe DiMeo writes here, Nimmo, 670 OPS. Lindor, 655 OPS. Soto, 650 OPS. Alonso, 622 OPS. Jeff McNeil, 699 OPS. He's got the best OPS of the bunch. First 5 hitters. That's since July 6th. It's almost a full month. It is a month. Is today August 6th? It is a full month. 1 month of the quote-unquote core four plus McNeil. OPS is around 6 and certainly all under 7. That can't happen. So when you say, well, Sal, we want you to go nuts and rip the Mets. Okay, I would if I didn't feel like that was going to turn around. I'd be lying to you. I can't explain it. I watched the game. Yeah, I was frustrated, but it's more like, hey, what the hell is going on here? Like, they got to pick it up. They got to get the bats going. But at my core, I believe it's going to change. So while it's fun to rip and be irrational and go nuts, to me, this time is not warranted. It will get turned around. It has to get turned around for the Mets. Those guys are too good to have those type of numbers for the better part of a month. Yankees as well struggling. Obviously, both these teams starting to let the postseason spots come into question. Mike is calling from Orlando. What's up, Mike?
What's going on, man?
How are you, Mike?
Good. Yeah, I called you last year about Clay Holmes with the Yankees, what I would do to have him back as opposed to just Devin Williams, probably, you know?
Yeah, I mean, I was thinking about that last night, but you know, people ripped Clay Holmes. The guy was an all-star reliever for the Yankees. Now, he wanted to be a starter, so I'm not going to go back down that road, but let's not make it like Clay Holmes wasn't significantly better than what you've gotten from Devin Williams, because he was. That was a downgrade.
Sal, let me ask you a question before I get disconnected. If all Yankee fans last night knew Devin Williams was going to blow the game, how come Boone didn't know? We all did. I mean, you could tell right away.
All right, but let me ask you. So what are you supposed to do, not pitch him? Like, ever? I mean, like, when are you going to use him? And then who do you trust more?
I wouldn't put him in a high-leverage situation, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
But he
has been good. Like, after the initial start, Williams did right the ship and became a serviceable, if not just flat-out trustworthy reliever for the meat of the season. Like, I'm with you. I don't trust him. I'm just saying, like, he's in your bullpen. He's supposed to be one of the trusted arms. I mean, going back to him after the blown save right away last night in a high leverage spot, a higher leverage spot, I don't love the move, but I mean, I kind of understand the thought process behind it. Who else are you going to go with? Bednar can't pitch the eighth, right? Because if Bednar pitches the eighth, let's play it out this way, Mike. Let's say Boone goes to Bednar instead. Bednar gets the job done. Yankees end up taking the lead. Who's closing the game out?
You know, that's a good question, but, you know, that's, you know, you could put that on Cashman. You know, that's on Cashman.
Well,
I know he made a bunch of moves
okay
at the trade deadline.
Bingo. It's on Cashman. That's why I'm saying it's not Boone's fault. I'm not saying he's perfect, but it'll be on Cashman because you don't have, even with the influx of bullpen arms, Mike, and thank you for the call. And I get it. Like, I don't want to see Devin Williams pitch. I'm with you. I didn't love the trade to begin with. You can't trust with relievers. Same thing with going back to Edwin Diaz. Like, you don't know with these guys year to year. There hasn't been a player in baseball that has proven me wrong more than Edwin Diaz. I thought he was toast in 2019 after his horrific performance when he first got to the Mets. Now, I hated the trade for different reasons. You don't give up a prospect and take on a salary that nobody wants. That's just idiotic. I didn't hate the trade because of Diaz. I hated it because you either take on the salary of Cano to get the player back or send the prospect in Kelnick to get the player back. Not both. And they did both, which was idiotic. And then the results from Diaz in 2019 were awful. And I didn't even think he was good in 2020. After 2022, I'm like, you know what? This guy has proved me wrong, man. Not only did he turn it around, which I thought he was toast in New York, he became the best closer that I had ever seen for at least a singular year. Then he gets hurt. Then he comes back. He's not the same. I'm thinking he's done. Too much on the ropes. Getting the tacky stuff or whatever, the sticky stuff, suspended with that issue last year. And then he's right at the ship this year where he's on par with what he did in 2022. He gets himself into trouble. Now I have the ultimate confidence he works himself out of it. But it just shows you, even with a very good closer, if not great, with Diaz, year to year, in the same spot, you don't know what to feel. Whereas Williams, he got beat in the postseason in the biggest spot. What closer would you want after seeing him fail in the biggest spot? The Brewers had a great year last year. Williams blew it up with that a lot. That game was over. Game was over. And Williams couldn't close it out. And instead, every Yankee fan, BT in particular, oh, 1 point, whatever, ERA, this guy's the best closer in the game. He's nasty. And I'm thinking, how nasty can it be? He just torpedoed the entire Brewers season, giving up a home run to Alonso, who didn't have a moment the entire year. Okay, fine. Fair enough. One moment. But let's factor in now change in teams and also knowing bullpens, how they could be. And now Williams has been, I think, worse than anybody, myself included, could have imagined. But he's still there on the team, and he's still, whether you like him or not, one of the more reliable arms for Boone. Who are you going to go with there? I just painted the scenario. Let's say they go with Bednar in the eighth. Who's closing the game out? Leiter? The issue that I have is that it was a higher leverage spot, even though it wasn't to close out a game or the ninth inning, and that it was fresh off the heels of blowing one. Now, maybe Boone's thought process was, all right, he blew this game. I'm going to need Williams to be successful. If the Yankees are going to be successful, you'd think Devin Williams has to be a part of that. And maybe Boone's thinking, let's get right back on it. Let me get out there and get Williams a clean inning here. Unfortunately, it couldn't happen. A guy can't throw strikes. Michael is calling from Boonton. What's up, Michael?
Hey, first of all, first time, long time. I always love the show. You guys do a great job. I'm just calling because I know you're on Twitter. I know you're, you know, familiar with what goes on there with the Mets and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Since April, people have been blaming Eric Chavez. Oh, Eric Chavez, he's the reason they can't hit. He's the reason Soto's in this big slump. He's the reason this, this, and that. I always was against that because I thought, you know, the hitting coach can't go up there and take at-bats for them. But at the same time, when it's August and there hasn't been a point throughout the whole year where they've been good hitting with runners in scoring position, and I think everybody in that Fab Four or whatever, plus McNeil, has like a below a 700 OPS in the last month.
Yeah, that's
I
what we just
that,
said, yeah.
Yeah, I think it starts to come into question, like, about the hitting coach, and maybe something's going on there. I don't know. I just want to know what you think about it. I'll hang up and listen.
Well, here, I'll do you one better, Michael, and thank you for the call. I'll ask the manager about it. We'll have him on in a half hour from now. I don't know what's going on. Here's what I would say. For Chavez, I think the best case that any person can make for a hitting coach in any situation is the one that's happening with the Mets right now. I don't care who it is. Ted Williams can get unfrozen and go into the Mets dugout right now and be the hitting coach. Nobody is to blame for Juan Soto's struggles other than Juan Soto. Like, there's not a hitting coach alive or dead that could come back and make Juan Soto better. You know what I'm saying? Like, that, you could say certain guys, hey, man, the bottom of the order, the younger guys aren't developing the right way. Okay, fair enough. I don't know the inner workings or what's going on with the hitting coach, what exactly he does, what he's telling these guys. What I do know is there's no way Eric Chavez is telling Juan Soto anything that Juan Soto doesn't know. And Juan Soto's been the biggest culprit this year with runners in scoring position. And has been all of them. Alonso's been great. So if we're going to knock the... Pete Alonso's been far better than he was a year ago and maybe better than he's ever been before with the Mets. Certainly outside of his rookie season in 2019. So if we're going to knock the other guys in that lineup, why not give Chavez then credit for Lindor's MVP run last year, for the Lindor hot streaks this year, for Alonso's turnaround? What about June? Did Chavez just wake up in June and be like, all right, I'm going to go to work today. Let's get Juan going. And then in July, he went back and took a nap and was like, eh, you know what? It's the summer, the holidays. Sit back a little bit. Like, this is not on, to me, it's not on the hitting coach. I'll ask the manager about it. For maybe the first question, hey, what's with the inconsistencies of this offense? This team was built to mash, and they haven't done that. Certainly not consistently enough. I know, like, it's a lot more fun and entertaining to go nuts. I feel like I've, you know, criticized the Yankees quite a bit over the last couple of days here, and I just don't feel like either team is as bad as what they're playing right now. The Yankees, it's always been about bigger picture issues, although I will say if they lose today, like, I mean, look, changes likely aren't going to be made in season. The Yankees just don't do that. So then the question becomes, well, after the season, and if it's going to be an after the season thing, why do I care about it now? We're in season. We're worried about what's going on now with the Yankees. But, man, if they cough this thing up, lost today, and somehow found themselves out of the postseason at the end of the year, I mean, remember, though, too, the Yankees did miss the playoffs in 2023 after getting to the ALCS in 22. They went to the World Series last year. And it wouldn't buy anybody any time just because we feel it. I felt it since 2021. So if I thought it in 2021, why wouldn't I think it now? Meaning that they needed a change at the top. Cashman and then Boone as a, you know, byproduct of that or collateral damage. This is not a fire the manager, everything's going to get better thing. This is a we're in too deep, you have to ride it out thing. And then for me, it would be fixing the thought process in the construction of a roster, a thought process of what type of players you're looking into, and a thought process, changing the thought process and how you develop said players. Like even just something as simple as Dominguez last night. Was it an easy play? No, but a big league left fielder's got to make that play. And he doesn't, and nobody's perfect. He's been better out there, but you still, Boone admitted it with John Boy and Jake, I think it was. He admitted it. He's learning. Yeah, it was getting it mixed up maybe with the post-game press conference. He was on with Talking Yanks podcast, John Boy and Jake, and he was talking about how Dominguez is still feeling his way and kind of learning here on the go, I'm paraphrasing, in left field at the big league level on a team that's trying to win a World Series. Any little mistake like that, the margin for error with the Yanks right now because they're not mashing, there really is none. They're not hitting well. They're not pitching well enough. One guy in the bullpen makes one mistake, and it's sensationalized because they're not tacking on runs. That's two nights ago. Last night, it's a bad defensive play. Devin Williams then can't throw strikes. Yankees offense does nothing against a tough pitcher. It's all sensationalized. These one or two things that they do, the mistakes that they make, nobody's perfect. But the difference is they're not, you know, making up for those mistakes by mashing. And with the Mets, it's not like they're beating themselves with bad mistakes. Not that they've been great. Beatty, obviously, the other night with an error. I had an issue with the third base coach, Sarbaugh, not being aggressive there. But that's just me. A lot of people, and Mendy himself, saying, no, it was 100% the right decision. That's fine. Doesn't he could say his thing. I could say mine. There is no right or wrong. The result was wrong, but that doesn't mean that I would be proven right by sending him. I just would have liked to have been aggressive in that spot. The Beatty era, yes, and he shouldn't have been on the field in that spot, in my opinion, but that's more infrequent with the Mets. The bigger issue with the Mets is their inconsistency offensively, whereas with the Yankees, it's not just one thing. It's been multiple things. Charlie's in Bethpage. What's up, Charlie?
Chell, how you doing there, buddy?
Good. How are you, Charlie?
I'd be a lot better. I mean, we got to get the bats going here with the Mets. I mean, I'm out there Monday night. Great comeback. They're down 5-0. But even the Alonso home run. I mean, Lindor gets on base by a pass ball, strike three. And Soto gets on by an error. That should have even been a three-run homer. That should have been a solo shot. They're not hitting. And they're not hitting throughout that lineup. And Saturday's game, that's what I expect from this Mets team. I was an enjoyable game to go watch on Saturday afternoon. Everybody was hitting. I'm not expecting that every game. But we got to get some consistency here. It's just getting tough to watch, you know. And then, no offense, Tyrone Taylor should have been sent home. I don't want to hear about Soto and Alonso. You know what the odds are to go 5-for-5 in baseball, in Major League Baseball? The odds are against you. It's like the housing...
Well, I think he didn't have to get a hit there. They were thinking just a sack fly will get the job done. I also think you have to factor in, Charlie, and thank you for the call. Great passion, as always. I think you have to factor in the pitcher as well. Cade Smith, who has been lights out for the most part as a reliever, you give up a hit like that to Lindor, that's where you got to take advantage of that. So instead of thinking, well, we've got Soto and Alonso coming up, which I understand, but if Lindor's at second, that's going to take the bat out of Soto's hands, and then it's down to really Alonso. Instead of thinking that and playing it safe, I'd be thinking, we just got a hit off of this guy who's tough to get a hit off of, as you saw when he blew Alonso away in Cade Smith. And we have a good fast runner at first base who's aggressive and hustling, and you have chaos in the process with the ball hit down the line. Whether he fields it perfectly or not, and I know that Sarbaugh is reading all that stuff, and I know the ball got away from the cutoff guy, but and I know they were in the wrong spot. If Santana was over there together. I'm not talking about that being the reason to send him. I'm saying when you have a ball like that that's hitting the corner, there is now pressure. The game is literally on the line. You get a big hit against a tough reliever. You got a guy on first base that can run. It has happened before. Guys going from first on a double. And there's pressure on the defense, the right fielder, to pick that ball up cleanly, to throw it to the right cutoff man, the cutoff man to field it cleanly, make a perfect throw home, catcher to field it perfectly, put the perfect tag on. Like, and they all are doing it under the stress of knowing that if they don't execute this perfectly, the game is over. If the Mets were behind, different story. I'm not being aggressive. Tie game in that spot when you have them on the ropes, that's where I would have sent them. I have my reasons for it. It's not just, well, the result didn't work. That's not it. There are many reasons why I said I would have been aggressive in that spot. Trailing, different story. Now you're not going to be as aggressive there to me. Now you say, all right, well, you got to play it safe. You're down. Let's see what happens here. You have second and third. Maybe they walk Soto. You got the bases loaded, and we need multiple runs to win this game anyway. I'm not trying to force the issue at one just to get a tie. That's at least my mindset. Maybe some people see it the other way, but that would be the case for me. Ralph is in New Haven. What's up, Ralph?
Hi, just a hypothetical. I'm not a Mets or Yankees fan. If the Yankees were in the National League, what position do you think they'd be in? And if the Mets were in the American League, what position do you think they're in? I'll hang up and see what your answers
are. Well, I mean, we don't have to have it hypothetical, Ralph, and thank you for the call. You could actually look at the standings. Yankees right now are 60-54. So if the Yankees were in the National League, the Yankees would be right there, three games behind the Mets, like the Cincinnati Reds are. So they'd still be within striking distance. The problem is you'd be in striking distance of the final playoff spot as opposed to being in the final playoff spot, which they are right now. And if the Mets were in the American League, they'd be 63-51. They'd be ahead of both the Mariners and Yankees. They'd be right behind the Red Sox there for that second spot of the wild card. Now, the difference, the biggest difference is, I would say, more definitively, I don't think the Yankees have any chance to get through the National League to get to a World Series. And if the Mets were in the American League, I'd feel better about their chances getting through the American League and getting to a World Series just because of the quality of competition in the American League. Doesn't mean that definitively the American League is worse than the National League. It just means that I feel like the teams in the National League, Dodgers, Padres, you want to throw in the Brewers, Cubs as well, Phillies, Mets, I feel like those teams are stronger than the top teams in the American League with the Tigers, Astros, Blue Jays.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.